TNT Radio wants to know what you really think. From COVID-19, the Ukraine conflict, the persecution of Julian Assange, corrupt government, the WEF, digital IDs and digital currency, the Great Reset, the disassembling of the West, and the destruction of the world as we once knew it. Your opinion matters. It's time to get on our soapbox and tell us what you really think at TNTRadio.live. Upload a video, some audio, or drop us a note on TNT Radio's soapbox. Lighting the fuse for freedom. Today's news talk, TNT Radio. Using science to debunk myths. From the pandemic to climate fraud. Thanks for listening to Sky Dragon Slaying on TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back. We're very happy to have with us today Joachim Hagopian, a West Point graduate and former Army officer, who's written a wonderful book exposing the nonsense in the US military in terms of how to get on and raise yourself up the ranks. And one of the things he pointed out that I find very interesting is it's a cronyism operation. It's being good at not showing initiative, just doing as you're told. And your book, Don't Let the Bastards Get You Down, Joachim, that's a very interesting title. And, you know, tell us a little bit about your cynicism about the U.S. military, the hierarchy.
Well, West Point, first thing they teach you is in order to be a leader, you must become a good follower. And unfortunately, I think that stays with them all the way up their ranks as they punch their ticket, you know, into mediocrity heaven, right up the ranks into becoming general. And the American leaders of various imperialistic wars around the world. That's kind of the way it's been for a long, long time. Those that show initiative, that show creativity, they're pretty much shunned. You can't have a critical mind, think for yourself, and be able to actually be honest. You play the game, you ingratiate yourself to those above you. I mean, it's the same in the corporate structure. It's the same in the
academia
structure. It's all the same, but the psychopaths end up rising up. That's the key.
Yeah, and you're well qualified to use that term because after the military, you earned a master's degree in clinical psychology and you worked as a licensed therapist in the mental health field. So you've got a very good insight in defining what constitutes mental illness, and we need more of that, don't we? Because it's getting so out of hand now. And what I want to ask you about is you're flipping one minute you're wearing your military hat, next minute you're wearing your psychologist hat, and you're kind of discerning the truth here. You're trying to discern, you know, where the path lays for the future, and you're doing the same as us, and I've got no background at all in the military. And what I've done to educate myself is I've, looked to, like a lot of people, try and find my new authoritative sources. I've given up on mainstream, and I've looked to new sources. And on the military side, on the terms of the Ukrainian analysis of the war, I've turned to, I mentioned earlier, Brian Beletic. You know, again, another army officer like yourself, who worked on Abrams tanks, and he's been very, very good with his new Atlas show, and two other guys I also recommend, Alex Christoforou and Alexander Makuris, and they work for the Duran, and they're wonderful. Are you familiar with their work?
Yes, I am, and I especially like Alex Christoforou. Another couple that are really very good Americans are Scott Ritter, the UN weapons inspector and former Marine intelligence officer, and another West Point graduate, I'm proud to say, that also speaks the truth, Colonel Douglas McGregor. He's retired, did probably 25 or so years in the military, and I am proud to say that I went to school with him for 1 year. When I was a senior, he was a freshman, so... Doug McGregor comes out with the truth. He has a lot of expertise when it comes to the war making and the logistics end of it. And he was in armor for many years. These two guys, especially I listen to, along with the Duran couple, they're very, very good. Yep. They do assessment on the ground situations, and they stick to reality as opposed to the propaganda bullshit.
Yeah, and what we try to do each show, each time we do a broadcast, is we make the point that we work as a collective. We're part of the truth movement. All we're trying to do is share the truth, tap into new sources of information. People like your good self who've got expertise in these matters, you know, we very much welcome your insights. And this is something that we have to do more of now, isn't it? We have to be an antidote to the corrupt mainstream media. And I think I didn't like using the term truther before, but I think in the last 6 months or so, I've just embraced it now. We are essentially a collective of truthers. And I like that term. Joe Olson, can you give us your insight on that?
Oh, yeah. Well, also, Hakeem was in school with two other guys, Lloyd Austin. And who is it that's, yeah, who's the other guy, the Mathis guy? Or I despise both of them.
David,
the
one Petraeus.
Oh, Petraeus was another one you were in with. What about the one that's head of DOD now?
Yeah, Lloyd Austin. I was his assistant squad leader in the same company, Company G1. Yeah, I can't say that I was much impressed with this guy. You know, I didn't believe in the fourth class system, you know, the hazing system. I figured that is no way to make a leader. And so when they come into my room, you know, they're supposed to stand at attention and spout off, sort of the day, blah, 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 you know, like that. And I say, hey, guys, relax, you know. and I could see on this guy's face, he didn't like it. He did not like it. He liked the system. He was buying right into it. And this is what in his freshman year, very beginning of his career. And so yeah, I mean, there's unfortunate, mostly West Point graduates that are propagandists, and they work for the dark side, unfortunately. And Lloyd Austin has totally taken over. I mean, that man, I mean, to inflict that much suffering on his fellow soldiers by having that poison mandate given to them, to eliminate the capacity for America to defend itself. I mean, it's just, you know, treasonous, you know, but anyway. West Point graduate that I want to mention that actually also has a good head on his shoulder. And ironically, when I was the freshman, he was the senior. So it's a reverse from the McGregor situation. And that's John Mearsheimer. The University of Chicago professor, author, I mean, he's quite a media person. And he also talks about the truth about the foreign policy of America and all the rest. So, yeah, there are a few guys that really still believe in the truth that may have come up the ranks that way, where they indoctrinate you with all the bullshit and then you're supposed to pass it on. But there are a few free-thinking, kind of discriminative, kind of critical thinkers out there that will be able to assess situations and say, no, this is bullshit, and here's the truth. So, yeah, there's a few of us. And, yeah, it's on all of our part, this truth movement, to mobilize others that are on the fence. And there's a lot of people now, based on the horrific conditions that the earth is in right now, there's a lot of people on the fence. They're not all buying into it, and that's who I write for. I try and write in ways where I don't use a lot of anachronisms, where you have to do another whole homework just to figure out what the hell the guy's talking about. I write for the everyday person, the lay person, that can easily grasp and understand. And there's a lot of people out there, and that's who I write for, is the people out there that are on the fence. They're curious. They know that everything's going wrong, and they want to find out the truth. And so they're open to looking at the reality, as hard as it is. They are open to that. They at least have that amount of courage to want to find out the truth, even if it's a dark truth and conditions are dire, and they certainly are. But yeah, that's who are all of us are working towards, having some kind of communication where we can raise the level of understanding and information and knowledge and wisdom, because that plays a part too, and that supersedes all the rest. down to the information level. So it's a movement, but it's gaining momentum and power, I believe. And I tend to be more optimistic than I.
Yeah, I'm with you on that one. Another thing I'd like to do is the enemy, the enemy within, and I think of General Mark Milley. I mean, Mark Milley, on record, he's a great supporter of critical race theory. The guy never served a day in combat. You know, he's promoted up the ranks because he obviously, was doing the bidding of the elite, buying into this notion that the system looks after itself, looks after its own. And, he's a great example of who we want to get rid of, because I can't see him. I've done my research on the guy, and I can't see anything he's done that enhances the image of the American military. What are your thoughts on him?
You broke up a little bit. I didn't quite understand what you just said.
Yeah, I'm referring to General Mark Milley. He's somebody that I've seen criticized a lot. You know, he's somebody who advocates for critical race theory. Somebody who's been, urged to resign many times. Do you think he's part of the problem?
Yeah. He's a traitor. He contacts his counterparts in China and says, "Hey, we got a reckless cannon over here called Trump." He's basically fraternizing with the enemy and giving away top secret stuff. He's a traitor. But one interesting point, I wrote an article about a month and a half ago now, but he was actually saying, "Hey, the wintertime's a good time to negotiate a peace settlement." He actually came out with this. And then everybody shut him down in Washington. They said, "Shut up, we don't want to do that. We're with Ukraine right to the end, because everything's at stake here, And another person that kind of did a 180, basically Henry Kissinger. Now this guy, a Rothschild agent, basically, and has had so much power from basically the early 70s all the way up to the present. He's like 4 months shy of 100 years old right now. But when he speaks, people listen still. He's considered like an Illuminati guru. He basically, back in May of last year, and again as recently as December, just last month, he was talking in terms of a peaceful negotiation settlement between Russia and Ukraine. And all of a sudden, he goes on the Davos, 10 days ago or whatever, he starts talking, "Yes, Ukraine is going to be part of NATO." So he's even toeing the line. He went actually against all the warmongers and talking peace, and now he's come around, because that's basically what the Rothschilds want, and he is an agent of Rothschild. So basically, they gave him the say, "Okay, if you're going to have a voice and not be killed before 100, you better get with us." And so he comes off and talks about Ukraine being part of NATO.
Yeah.
The math is Milley is the one that I was trying to think of earlier. But I do want to get the point in about the number of psychopaths in the CIA and State Department that have staged set coups all the way around Russia since 2003. We had the Rose in Georgia in 2003, the Orange in Ukraine in 2004, the Tulip in Kyrgyzstan in 2005, the Jeans in Belarus in 2006, the Grapes in Moldova in 2009, the Melon in Kyrgyzstan again in 2010. Then we had the Maidan Revolution. And that's the one where they massacred a whole bunch of people in Odessa. That was in 2014 in Ukraine. And then we had the Slipper Revolution coup in Belarus in 2020. And then just to make sure that Russia had plenty of reasons to attack Ukraine, they had another overthrow with the NGO. Over 10,000 Soros-funded NGOs inside Kyrgyzstan tried to rise up in January of 2022. So that's at that point, Russia said, "Look, they're going to keep attacking us every way. I might as well go directly to the source." And then after the war started, they had another coup attempt against the leader of Belarus in April of 2022. So, you know, this is the way these psychopaths operate. And they've just been punching their ticket, waiting to create the next big war because that's where they make big money. But, you know, I think this whole thing's fixing to flip on them.
It is. Basically, the policy of the United States, and this is really the globalist puppet master's policy, is to, along every nation that borders, the biggest border in the world is Russia, and go after every single nation on its border, turn them against Russia, and then we can overthrow and take over Russia, which they thought they did basically back when Russia first became a federation behind Boris Yeltsin, who was the alcoholic, and they pretty much were allowed to get away with all kinds of exploitation. They were taking over Russia at that time. And, you know, Kissinger was part of the grooming of Vladimir Putin, who rose up through the KGB ranks. And they thought that they had their next guy after Yeltsin that was going to toe the line. And it turns out, no, he's talking anti-globalism. He's talking anti-decadent West. He actually stopped having children from Russia be adopted by American parents because of the pedophilia problem in America. And he did that back around 2008 or something like that. A long time ago, he saw a major problem. So I'm not one to say he's going to be our savior, but I'll tell you, he is the statesman that has shown the most restraint and the most wise moves. I mean, the guy is a great chess player as far as the geopolitical stage, and he's outmaneuvered the West on every single turn. So
I just add to the point of that. Yeah, I mean, Putin is the only one who seems serious out there. Everyone else is a complete freaking joke. Like all these, yeah. Like Trudeau, Jacinda, like all these people are just the most incompetent, pathetic jokes. He's the only serious politician, really. Although I guess there's Orban, you know, there's a few others. But as far as the whole, you know, Western front, they're just pathetic people. They really are just front people. They really are just stupid, unintelligent, completely incompetent, hired beyond their competence people, and then probably controlled with pedophilia and who knows what else. Just nincompoops, aren't they?
Yeah, Joe Posner, on that point, we're going to take a short break. This is TNT Radio.
TNT Radio's James Freeman.
The AstraZeneca COVID-19 vaccine debacle in the UK. So back in 2021, the government rolled out its COVID-19 vaccine program. AstraZeneca was one of the main vaccines available at the time, and the rollout started in January/February 2021. In early March, several regulators started raising the alarm. Denmark then withdrew the AstraZeneca vaccine on March the 11th after vaccinating 734,000 people. The UK had vaccinated 24 million people, but the MHRA couldn't detect a safety signal, even though other regulators were doing their job and picking this up. There are thousands of reports on the yellow card system dating back as early as February, but the MHRA didn't pick this up. And funny enough, we know now from FOIs that have been put in that the MHRA doesn't even have an internal process for its staff to follow up on yellow card reports.
James Freeman on today's News Talk, TNT Radio. A better business tip from TNT Radio. One reason people tune in to TNT Radio is often because they're loyal to a specific show or personality. Our personalities have been a part of people's daily routine, and people continue to tune in. They trust TNT Radio and are highly engaged with the content. If you'd like more information about advertising on TNT Radio, simply fill out your details on our contact page and we'll be in touch. To find out more, go to tntradio.live. Hear about it.
I don't even know where to start with AOC.
Talk about it.
The stupidity of this administration.
On today's News Talk, TNT Radio.
Hi, welcome back. We're talking about the issue in Ukraine, and we're interestingly getting the insight of somebody who's a West Point graduate, former Army officer, Joachim Agopian. One thing that's been put forward is these wonder weapons that NATO is going to use, the HIMARS, the heavy tanks, the drones and missiles. Russia's approach is more low-tech, mass production. And what we've seen is a lot of people who are commenting on our side have said, well, hold on a minute. The US pretty much used all the current weapon systems in Afghanistan, and yet the Afghans eventually drove the US out despite the wonder weapons. And the other issue is the quantity of weapons. It seems as if the stocks of resources are dwindling, and that Russia just seems to be churning out missiles and tanks, you know, without any hesitation. What's your take on that side of things?
Well, they have factories. First of all, they are the most advanced military in the world. Secondly, they have factories that are going 24/7, cranking out their most sophisticated military hardware that surpasses everywhere else, including America. And they have the hypersonic technology with their missiles that are far faster and can be undetected with all of our defense systems, much more lethally effective. They have that. China has even developed the hypersonic. We are behind, yet we've given virtually all of our weapons stockpile to Ukraine. What does Ukraine do with it? They have the hugest black market in the world and the dark web, and they're selling it to the kebab terrorists in Nigeria. That's the situation. We're losing most of all the weapons we've sent over to Ukraine. CBS, as mainstay as you can get with the media, they came out back in, I think it was like August, and said, August of last year, they said 70% of all the weapons that America is sending over to Ukraine are ending up on the black market, not even on the battlefield. So we have a depleted weapons arsenal in all the West, the whole West, because it's not just America that's sending everything they got. It's the whole West, except Hungary, basically. All the rest, EU and Canada, Australia, America, they're all doing it. What does that do? Basically, it puts it out there to all kinds of negative, very dangerous terrorist kind of organizations like ISIS and others. And it doesn't get to the battlefield, one. And two, we have depleted military in that it's been decimated by the mandate kill shot. So we do not have the means to defend ourselves. Yet, in this whole thing on the Eastern Front of World War III is awaiting Taiwan. And it's just a matter of time before China makes its move. China and Russia have realized that they live in the multipolar world now, that they control. They are the leaders of the multipolar world now. And America has gone down, and Europe has gone down. And so we're at the mercy. Now, I put the question out there, can we really believe that Putin is anything other than controlled opposition? I certainly want to believe that he's anti-globalist. I believe that he actually has been in defense of his nation, his homeland, his people. I believe that he has been trying to protect his people. And so I want to believe that actually he might be a good guy and not be a globalist, not be into this whole prison lockdown system that basically the cabal is going for. That actually he has broken with the cabal that put him in power. That's what I want to believe, and that he, along with all the decent human beings of the world will rise up together for individual sovereignty of human rights, basically to follow the Nuremberg Code against the anti-humanist, anti-consent of injecting your body with poison. And I hope that things get turned around. Like I said, I fluctuate depending on the day and the mood and the news coming in. So, you know.
Yeah.
Take it away, guys.
I fluctuate myself. I can tell you that what cheered my heart this weekend is a story on Principia Scientific International. Zachary Straber, he reported that the UK government is ending COVID-19 vax boosters for healthy under 50s. And that's a major announcement here from the National Health Service. They're on the 12th of February, the government is withdrawing all official boosters of the vaccine for the under 50s, pretty much admitting they've given up the ghost on that one. The uptake is so low, people are not going back for their boosters. And that's really encouraging news for me. And I'm glad to hear that. And, you know, we need more of that, because that's an indication that people are becoming more cynical about the effectiveness of the jab. Another thing I want to put to you, again, it crossed my mind. We were talking about the availability of military resources. A lot of people have forgotten what happened when America left Afghanistan, and they left a total amount of, I think it was, I'm looking at the numbers now, 50,000 vehicles, 500,000 US weapons, $7 billion worth of equipment. The Taliban fighters who hold this equipment now are allegedly in talks with Russia for selling that equipment to Putin. Have you seen that story? What do you make of that one?
Yeah, that was a total disgrace of how they left Afghanistan in such a rush and left Americans behind. And then the incident at the airport where a whole bunch got killed at the last second. It was a total disgrace, yet it was by design. And I've written many articles saying, basically, ever since World War II, and people have even argued that we lost World War II, even to the Nazis, that managed to, you know, get down to Antarctica, and that's a whole other show, I guess. But anyway, it was a total disgrace, and it was done by design. They wanted to basically cause, I mean, the whole agenda of the elite that runs the world up to this point is to destabilize everywhere, to have wars everywhere. And basically that's what they're going for. And by allowing it to end the way it did, it gave a lot of military hardware into the wrong hands for more wreaking havoc. And we're seeing, there's obvious, the big hot spot is Ukraine, but we're seeing conflicts all over the world now. Right now, you know, I'm half Armenian. My father was Armenian, and there is a Lachin highway that is the opening of Nagorno-Karabakh, which is that, basically the little part of Armenia that officially isn't part of Armenia, but it's surrounded by basically a Turkic mongrel group called Azerbaijan. And they're out for genocide again. We know about the first genocide of the last century against the Armenians. Well, they're still going at it. I mean, between Turkey on the western side and Azerbaijan on the eastern side, they're still going after. So they've cut off this Lachin pathway for the outside to get their supplies. So there's a real serious crisis, and it's now a month and a half or so old, where the Armenians living in and the population is something like, 150,000 people. They're being starved out. I mean, all the things that could happen to us, that they're the designers of this planet, seemingly, are gearing for us, are happening right now to Nagorno-Karabakh people. So Yeah, there's all kinds of brewing conflicts, and they seem to be wanting to go for the big climax of the big bang of humans destroying humans. It would be the fifth extinction, sixth extinction. The five prior extinction events on the Earth are all natural, supposedly made, naturally occurring. But if there's a sixth one, it's going to be human occurred through nuclear holocaust. I pray to God, and I don't think it's going to reach that level, but certainly they're playing with fire right now.
The Russians have already deployed their Zircon cruise missile, which has a speed of Mach 5, which is beyond any of our air defense capabilities. That's short range, but they in 2019, they debuted their Kinzhal, K-I-N-Z-H-A-L, ICBM. It has a speed of Mach 10, can reach anywhere on Earth within an hour. It can carry 25 multiple warheads, and it can wipe out, one missile can wipe out an area the size of France in minutes. So that's the kind of saber rattling that we need to keep these idiots from doing. And if they have to fire somebody in the Green Party over in Germany to stop this, let's get after it. We need to fire a whole bunch of people in our U.S. Congress that have been buying into the MIG trick, thinking that we're going to be able to outweapon these people. This is absolute insanity.
Yeah, totally agree with you. And just to add to the numbers, I gave you some idea earlier of the over $7.12 billion worth of military equipment was left in Afghanistan, according to Jake Sullivan. Jake Sullivan, as you may know, he's the national security advisor to Joe Biden. He gave a press statement, admitted he didn't have a complete picture of the material in the hands of the Taliban, but certainly admitted it was a considerable amount. And the numbers are here. The U.S. supplied 22,174 Humvees, 33 Black Hawk helicopters, 23 Super Tucano fighter planes, 115 Max Pro trucks, 634 M777 armored vehicles, 549,000 machine guns, night vision goggles in the thousands, assault rifles. The list goes on and on. This is an immense armory. This literally can provide resources for a whole army. And not only is it giving resources to the Russians, it's handing over the technology. Russia now doesn't need to go out of its way to be able to dissect the point you made earlier is that in a war, Joe Postman, you made the point that when you test out in these proxy wars your own technology and your equipment, you realize how far ahead or behind you are in the game, in the arms race. And Putin's got a real head start here, isn't he? He's got a massive incentive to work with the Taliban. The Taliban want to be recognized. And I think on the table that from Russia is that they will officially recognize the Taliban as the official government of Afghanistan. And what a great deal. What a great deal for the Taliban and for Putin. What do you think on that one, Lockheed?
I agree.
Dead air.
it just gets worse, doesn't it?
Building to, you know, whether it's a conventional or nuclear war. I mean, that's where the designers of this Earth so far have planned it. Where it ends, that's up to us. It's up to us to step up and make sure it doesn't happen.
Yeah. What about the jet fighters? We know that the Russians have air superiority. They know the battlefield in Ukraine is dominated in the air. If you don't have air superiority, you tend not to win a war. What do you think the situation will be with the next step up in the ante with the jet fighters? And beyond the jet fighters, where do we go? Nuclear? I mean, as you said, Joachim, it's coming to a head, isn't it?
It certainly is. I mean, in the very early weeks of the war in Ukraine, they took out whatever air force and navy Ukraine has. And so they don't have the air support. That's why I do think that that in the coming months, by March, I'm hoping that this war will be put to an end and that Zelensky will be out, that regime will be gone. And I hope. Now, Mike Whitney just wrote a recent article. He's a pretty good journalist. He's pretty astute about his observations. And he's saying, okay, well, even if Russia, you know, wins this war in Ukraine, the war is not over. He believes that the neocons in Washington are gung-ho for basically wars all over the world, obviously, and they're puppet masters that are, you know, holding the real puppet strings are for war, as we've been talking about, whether it's conventional or the nuclear, and that this will go on. The bigger picture of what the evil ones that have been in control are wanting and going for will go on, even if Ukraine might even lose its war. And I hate to say it, but I'm inclined to agree. It's a matter of having to take out the neocons in Washington, you know, and then obviously take out the puppet masters that are above them. That's what we have to do. So they're entrenched in every basic aspect of the infrastructure of the world. They are entrenched. We're talking the bloodline families of nobility of Europe, the royal family of England, you know, the Rothschild, Rockefeller, and there's a friend of mine who also went to West Point, by the way, Fritz Springmeier. He wrote The 13 Illuminati Families back in 1995, and that pretty much spells it out as far as the upper crust elite that have been controlling all the countries of this earth for a long, long time. He spelled it out very plain, and I used, in the course of my 5 books on the pedophilia, I used many references to those bloodline families.
Yeah, what we'll do, Joachim, is we'll come back to that after the break, because that's a very interesting subject. This is TNT Radio.
De-weaponizing weather with reality and perspective.
Australian researcher Bevan Dockery, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, has asked me to distribute this. Actually, he's asked a bunch of us to distribute this. All I could do is distribute a small part of it here. Fact is that 99% of the radiation absorbed by atmospheric CO2 is in the 15 micron wavelength band, micron being 1/1,000,000th of a meter in length. This equates to the lower end of the cold, far infrared spectrum with a frequency of 20.02 terahertz and a photon energy of 1.33 times 10 to the minus 20th joules. It coincides with peak radiation from a source at minus 80 degrees C, the minimum temperature occasionally reached in Antarctica. So when you take all this into account, and there's a lot more that he has put out here, how is it that CO2 is causing planetary warming? The answer is, it's not. This is TNT climate and weather watchdog meteorologist Joe Bastardi asking you to enjoy the weather. It's the only weather you've got.
Challenging the consensus and debunking the narrative. This is Viewpoint.
In a March 19 executive order, President Zelensky invoked martial law to ban 11 opposition parties. The outlawed parties consisted of the entire left-wing socialists or anti-NATO parties in Ukraine, openly fascist and pro-Nazi parties like the Azov National Corps were unaffected by the presidential decree. President Zelensky ordered an unprecedented domestic propaganda initiative to nationalize all television news broadcasting and combine all channels into a single 24-hour channel called United News to tell the truth about war. On April 12th, President Zelensky announced the arrest of his main political rival, Viktor Medvedchuk, by the SBU security services.
Scraping together all the news and information you need.
It's engaging.
At the top and bottom of the hour. Today's News Talk Radio, TNT.
Yeah, we're into the last 15 minutes of Sky Dragon Slaying on the show today. Joachim Hagopian, he's written a wonderful 5-volume series entitled Pedophilia and Empire, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State. And that's hit the Amazon bestseller list. And Joachim, you talked before the break about the dynastic psychopathic families that run the world. Give us some insight into that, please.
Well, they have been pretty much through the structure of the banking system, starting with the Rothschild dynasty that began in the later 1700s in Germany, in Hamburg. And then he basically spread his family out there in Europe. He had five sons, and they all became the big banking structures of all the different parts of Europe back in the very early 1800s. And then came the Napoleonic Wars, and they supported both sides in those wars. And they got the information. This is the Rothschild. I think his name was Nathan Rothschild in Britain. Got actually the news of the Battle of Waterloo right after it happened, and then went to the speculating financial market, bet on it, and made his fortune even bigger, obviously, with the outcome, saying that basically he said, yeah, the French are going to win. And so everybody betted against it. And then he ended up making the killing, because obviously Waterloo was Napoleon's downfall, and the British end of the Rothschild fortune got a lot bigger, and they just expanded into a global banking system that we have now. And so, I mean, and then, you know, the Rockefellers, basically, they came to power through the oil that John Rockefeller early on, 1800s, late 1800s. And so these industrialists, internationalist families emerged in power in Europe and America, and really began controlling all the governments. I mean, that was their agenda for more power, was to obviously, through their money, control the governments. And that's the name of the game that we were talking about earlier in the show. Through bribery and blackmail, they managed to get pretty much all the governments to represent their interests over the interests of the people, the supposed voter constituency. So we've had a handful of basically these special interests kind of, bloodline families that have managed to have control over pretty much this entire earth. I mean, we could talk about the Bolshevik Revolution. We could talk about the Marx Manifesto. Marx was basically a third cousin of the Rothschilds. They paid him money to write his manifesto of communism. And then we go to the Bolsheviks, in World War I, and the Bolsheviks were, Jews that were part of this whole finance, Rothschild, J.P. Morgan, Schiff kind of financing of the Bolsheviks. And, of course, communism took control over the Soviet Union. And just as a sidelight that I've written quite a bit about, there was an Operation Trust back in the early 1920s that people were realizing, wait, these Bolsheviks are real dictators here. I mean, they're closing in on all of our freedom, and they killed the Tsar's family. And basically, there was this idea that there was going to be some military insiders in this Operation Trust in the Soviet Union early on in the early 20s of the last century that were going to basically have a coup and get rid of the Bolsheviks that were basically into genocide. They had a genocide against the Ukrainian people, by the way, back in the 30s. And anyway, they were going to get rid of, overthrow the Bolsheviks. And so it was a pacifism amongst the people, thinking that they are some good guys on the inside that are going to turn things around politically so that the maniacs don't kill us all. And I see now a similar situation that has developed. There are hopium pushers out there that are very big in the truth movement, so-called truth movement, where they have been saying, oh yeah, the white hats, sit back, enjoy your popcorn, enjoy the show, because the white hats are really in control. Trump's really still president, and they're going to rescue us. You know, so it's a parallel from a century earlier.
Well, you know, that really plays on Western psychology and Christian psychology, because isn't that the whole psychology of the Christian religion is, you know, someone else is going to save you, right? Yeah. So it really exploits that whole, you know, and it's not a good situation that the West is in psychologically. We're very prone. People are very prone to thinking that, thinking wishful thinking. Yeah, hopium thoughts. Oh, it's all going to work out. There's some, we got people on the inside that are going to do the right thing. And it's like, no. No, you are in for the worst possible scenario you can possibly imagine. There's no one there to help you, you know?
The Rothschilds found and funded Marx, Engels, Lenin, Trotsky, Stalin, Mussolini, Hitler, and Mao. But during the break, we had an interesting little bit by Joe Bastardi. I met him at the IPCC in 2014 out in Las Vegas, and he mentioned something about carbon dioxide being 14.7 micron, and it only absorbs in the minus 80 degree centigrade range. And he said, you know, how that can't be warming the planet. What he didn't mention, and this has been part of what John and I have been discussing publicly since 2011, is that the troposphere or the thermosphere, where it's really hot, is populated mainly by carbon dioxide molecules, which have a specific gravity of 1.5. They're 1.5 times heavier than the rest of the air in the atmosphere. Why is there carbon dioxide up there? Because it's absorbing at that minus 80 degrees and getting hot, excited enough that it hits a thermometer, and the thermometer can't tell the difference between a particle moving at 10,000 miles per hour or 10 particles moving at 1,000 miles per hour. So it doesn't tell the difference, and it gives you the appearance of having a real high temperature spike in an area where if you stepped out of a space capsule, you'd be instantly flash frozen in a millisecond. So that's what we're dealing with, is we're dealing with this idiotic climate change, because that's the other threat vector that they've been using against humanity. And we recognize that when we wrote our book in 2010, that this was going to be a control mechanism for destroying the energy sector and thereby destroying the force multiplier that thermal fuels and hydrocarbons have provided for humanity for the last century and a half. And that's where one of the other end games and threat vectors that we're very much dealing with. And that's another thing that we have tried desperately to get the truth out on.
Well said, Joe.
Yeah, they really latched on to the whole green agenda as their way. And basically, you know, the Tesla electric car, all of them, they don't work. And then they, you know, need to be recharged all the time. And it's a nightmare, and it's not realistic. And obviously, many people are seeing through it. But that is their agenda, and they have managed to, through the education system and mass media brainwash system, they have brainwashed many generations into thinking, and obviously, you can't argue, oh yeah, to have things clean and green, and you know, it all sounds good, but you know, they've been working on this for a long, long time. You know, the Club of Rome back in the late 60s and early 70s, they decided, okay, we're going to make humanity the enemy that's doing all these horrible things to Earth in order to gain control. You know, I mean, they got all kinds of methods that they've been using. And obviously, the green agenda is the big one now, where they brainwash people. Look what happened. Look what's happening right now in the Netherlands. This is a small little country there that has been producing the second most produce in the world out of all countries, the second biggest. And they've been using the green agenda to take away the farmers' land and basically build these structures of for housing a lot of people in jail. That's the game plan. And they're eliminating the food source for lots of people. And so it's behind the green agenda that they're trying to get away with all of this. But we see through their agenda, and we see that it's actually very malevolent and can take out millions, if not billions, of people along with the jab. It's just another weapon of mass destruction they're using against us.
You ever get the impression that we're just facing such a massive scale of intelligence that is coordinating all these operations? It's sort of beyond what, you know, I would ever envision someone like myself or John, you know, or you, you know, coordinating on our own. You know, it's almost like we're facing, it's almost like it's like the movie, what's that movie, They Live, do you know that movie? We're just facing something that we can't see. Like, we stand here bewildered, wondering why we can't talk about the truth about it. And it's kind of bewildering, but whatever this forces we're facing seems to be very well coordinated. What do you think, Joaquin? What is this thing that we're facing?
Well,
is it spiritual? Is it alien?
They've been in control for so long, and they do everything far in advance. I mean, you know, the pandemic was basically the playbook was the Rockefeller lockstep paper that came out in 2010. So, you know, everything that they do and everything that we're seeing now is part of their plan that they conjured up many years ago. And they're just mapping it all out. Plan B, plan C, you know, okay, a little bit too much overreach on the pandemic. We go to war here. But, you know, we got Bill Gates even saying now, he's still out there. They haven't locked him up yet. And he's saying, oh, yeah, there's going to be more pandemics. I mean, it's a very advanced system that they've used against humanity for centuries. But finally, I mean, there's more information of their crimes against humanity and children out there now than in all of history. And we, like I say, we arm ourselves with the truth and become activists, and we will be able to make changes necessary.
Well, that is true.
That's where we are now.
Yeah, there is more and more information coming out there. You're right. And I think what they're doing on their side is they're trying to increase the gap between their level of operations and their level of intelligence versus that of the public. So I think they're really trying to re-increase that gap now just because the information is out there. So they want to ensure that the people are too stupid to, you know, cotton onto it or catch onto it. You know, and I'm just referencing the atrocious quality of our education and scientific research. It's just going completely down the drain.
Yeah.
But, Joe Olson?
You know, yeah. I'm optimistic.
You usually come in, I want to bring Joe Olson in, because Joe Olson, we've had some wonderful conversations about the issue of the decline of education. We talked about the issue of climate scientists don't seem to understand thermodynamics. They're not even educated in it. And it's a key element in understanding the atmosphere. And it's something that's shocked us that they can talk about radiation and never even factor in the water cycle and thermodynamics and so forth. And it's something that, Joe Olson, you just want to add a few words on that, please?
Well, that's a subject that I've discussed on Coast to Coast AM radio with 615 radio stations and 2 million listeners. It's something that I have 60 articles at Canada Free Press and probably another 60 at Principia Scientific. So, and then I've got 350 interviews with James Fetzer. I was introduced to Hakeem's work at the same time that Fetzer was an assistant editor at Veterans Today, and that's where his chapters first started showing up. And I started reading them faithfully at first, and then it got to the point where it was just so well documented and so horrifying. One of the chapters that he mentions of Queen of Slovakia named Elizabeth Bathory. She, between 1590 and 1610, is alleged to have killed at least 300 young virgin girls and bathed in their blood. So that's what we're talking about in the way of royalty. I have no respect for that, but his chapters were just so gut-wrenching and so well-referenced. I recommend everybody read at least a few chapters to get an idea about the spiritual battle that we're fighting against these vampire, parasitic, cannibal baby
raiders. What was the book reference there, Joe?
Pedophile and Empire. It's the one that's five volumes. It's like, what, 2,500 words?
Yeah.
5,000.
It's a lot 3,000, of words. A lot of truth.
Yeah, 3,000 footnotes. It's just impeccable research. Absolutely wonderful book. And that's really what put Hakeem on my radar. And that's really the reason we wanted to talk to him tonight, because people need to
know about this. Give us the full title of your book there, Joaquin.
It's Pedophilia and Empire, Satan, Sodomy, and the Deep State. I have five books. I cover it regionally. I cover religion and Christianity.
Thank you, Joaquin. Thank you. It's wonderful having you on the show. We've come to the end. Sorry to cut you off.
We've come to an end. Thank you.